Okay, we are in essay number 5 of Kuntres Achrein. We're getting close. The brand new thing, I'm not going to give any introduction to it. It talks about the importance of mitzvahs and what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. We're on page 318 on the top pages, which corresponds to Kuf Nun Tes Amid Beis. L'havim prati halachas d'le shchiche klal. To understand the specific laws that never happen. So he's talked about, the Alter Rebbe is mentioned in chapter 5. Well, chapter 5 is a parenthetical statement where he, in chapter end of chapter 4, he mentions the leis machshava tefisa bei, that no thought can grasp Hashem. And so chapter 5, he talks about what's this deal about grasping with your thoughts? You grasp with your hands. Now, we have this expression, is an idiom in English also, to grasp a concept, so that us it doesn't bother, but the idea of grasping still means to hold on to. And there, in chapter 5, he says that when a person sits and learns Torah, so he's grasping the Torah, and the Torah is enclosed in his head, and his head's enclosed in the Torah, etc., etc., etc. And he says in a statement, even though it never did, even learning a halacha, and once the person understands the halacha well, even though that halacha, that scenario never happened, nor will it ever happen, still, nonetheless, it is the will and wisdom of God. And when a person learns it, he's uniting his will and wisdom with the will and wisdom of God. In an ultimate unity, there's no other unity that can be compared to it. Okay? That's what he says there. You're talking about you have such scenarios. It never happened. It never could happen. It never will happen. Like, for example, when you talk about pigle, pigle doesn't have a translation as far as I know.
Forbidden fats?
No. That's chalev.
Oh, it's chalev.
Pigle. Does he translate? Yeah, pigle.
Wrong intention?
Pigle. Yeah, the wrong intentions.
Okay.
He just says, look at Leviticus. Thank you very much. Okay? So I think we've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago about pigle, that why it could never happen is because it means that a person slaughtered, somewhere in the process, somebody had the wrong thought. They thought this was a burnt offering. It turns out to be a peace offering or something like that. And it was impossible to happen because they had such a checks and balances there that they would ask three times. You remember discussing this three times after every time. And it was impossible for Peel. And he says, but there's similar things like that. The other classic one is Ben Sura Omara, the rebellious son, which there's a whole or 7 pages of Gemara on it. And after you get done with the 7 pages of Gemara, it talks about all the specific things that you need to do. It says, there never was, never will there be a rebellious son that gets put to death. So what's the point? He named Doz Zeus. So you should know. Shekol isheshba olam yesh lo shorish umaker chaim beklipoth. That every negative commandment, everything that's wrong in the world, has its source and receives its vitality from klipa. That we've talked about this before many times, that klipa hops onto the kedusha, any waste product godliness, and from it now it's able to enliven even those entities which are in opposition to Hashem's will. Because now we have to say how it comes this way, because there is nothing that is not enlivened by God. If it's in this world, it's enlivened by God. So how is it then it is able to be? So you're going to say it's against Hashem's will, but Hashem is enlivening it. Okay, so when we say it's against Hashem's will, what we mean is that Hashem did not create the world with the intentions of having fill in this X blank type thing that is wrong. But in order for the world to be the way that it's supposed to be, and that we can act the way that we're supposed to act, so you need to have things that are wrong so that we don't get involved with them. So everything comes through, so they do receive a vitality from Hashem, but that vitality comes through klipa, comes through behind the back, waste product, godliness. And he says, "Va'afilu ha'misalsa b'sara v'ki ha'gavna mekabel ha'yosa b'regezu mehechalos de klipas k'moshe kozu b'zayar." You learn about Yosef HaTzadik. Okay, why was it that Yosef had all these things happen with him with Potiphar, and he wound up for 13 years in prison? So it sounds very harsh, but the Zohar says is because when he was there in Potiphar's house, and he was his little slave boy, and his father was sitting in a tent, depressed and mourning the death of his son Joseph, who was in Egypt. What was Joseph doing? Rashi says he was combing his hair and putting makeup on his eyes. Okay, what's the idea over here? So we say hair is an expression of what's referred to in the languages as maisre moichin, extraneous brain. That doesn't mean that if a person, for example, is bald, that they have small brains. That's not what it means. Okay, in fact, you have some hairy dude is probably could have a really low IQ too. Okay, so that's not what it means. What exactly is this? It is byproduct brain energy. Now, if you happen to know, hair is hollow. You think we talk about this? No? Okay.
Hair, it's got keratin cell, but it's hollow in the inside.
Hair has a shaft. Okay, I was actually quite surprised when I was 15 years old and we had to do like experiments on how to use a microscope in biology. And the three lab partners all had to pull a hair out of their head. And there was me with this Jew hair, and there was this blonde girl with this little blonde-haired girl, and this other non-Jewish guy had his little hair thing over there. And my hair looked like a water main pipe, and theirs looked like threads. So, but you could see that the hair is hollow under the microscope. You could see every hair is indeed hollow. So what's happening is, what do we say, is how much energy could be passed through that hollow little hair? Not a whole lot. So we say that the uniqueness, the klipa, the energy that comes to the klipa is a unique al yedei Cyrus, comes through, quote unquote, the proverbial hair, so to speak, meaning that they get just a very, in addition to the fact that it's low-grade godliness, it's waste product godliness, how is it coming down? It's coming in very minute quantities. And even still, you look, you see how powerful the Sitra Achra is. The forces of evil, how powerful they are. Okay, Hilcha gam prate ha'isurim shelo bali de maisima oilam. Therefore, even the specific details of some deed which is never ever going to happen in this physical world, the idea of such a thing does present itself within the realm of klipa. So theoretically, in the realm of klipa, there is a rebellious son. There is somebody messing up a sacrifice, having the wrong intention. Okay, and there is a meted amount of godliness, you might say, ready to be appropriated for that rebellious son or for that sacrifice which was improperly offered, even though these things never happen, never will happen. And as we said in chapter 5, that it's still the will and wisdom of Hashem, meaning such a thing does exist in potential. Hashem has said, well, I want this thing to be able to exist. So if you thought about it, so it is possible that in a 6-month period, a 13-year-old boy could steal money from his father and buy ox meat, an Italian wine, and eat it a third cooked, and drink down the wine 4 ounces in one gulp, and 1 ounce of meat in one gulp, and do it with his friends, not with his father's property, and that both of his parents want to have him executed, and neither parent wears glasses, has hearing aids, walked, you know, a limp or any kind of problem with their hands, and after he gets a beating and he does it twice within 6 months. So theoretically, yeah, you could have such a stupid person, yes, to do it a second time, which would warrant him getting killed. But actually, it never happened. But theoretically, listen, there's 7 pages of Talmud that talk about the theory behind it. So theoretically, so that's the thing, with theoretically, potentially it does exist. And with Hashem, potential and actual are exactly the same thing, because Hashem is above potential and actual. So for Hashem, there's an immediate amount of chayis, a immediate amount of energy, as though the thing which never could possibly exist does exist. And for sure, the idea of pigol is such a thing that you can't do it. I mean, just by definition, you can't do pigol intentionally. I'm going to go be mefagel, that would be the verb. I'm going to go be mefagel a korban right now. That's not pigol, that's just called being dastardly and horrible. Pigol is only accidental. The definition of pigol is that it only happened unintentionally. The guy messed up. That's what's called pigol. So it's like, you can't plan it even. A person can't plan to do this thing wrong. It only just happened, and so it never happened. A similar thing is also, there's a whole problem when talking about Meiser Behema. How did they do Meiser Behema? So you had all your animals, each one its own specific type, in a corral. And you pushed all the animals into a chute so that they would be able to count. And the 10th one got a red streak of paint on its tail. Okay? So there's a whole big problem. What happens if the guy lost the count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay? He smacks the 10th one. Okay? It's a problem.
It's a 9th.
That's the 9th. Okay, so the half of Masechta Meiser.
They have, so he does 9, 10, 11, or he does something. He
has, it's either that. He either says something like 6, 8, 9, 10, or the 11th one, he counts as 10. You know, so he loses count, and, you know, he does 5, 6, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it comes out the 11th one. Okay, a person could get a bit distracted that way, but those are totally, it's completely unintentional. A person cannot say, because what happens now? A person says, you know what, I'm going to make the 9th one, the 10th one. He did nothing. It's not Meiser. The whole problem is if it happened that he did it and didn't know that he was doing something wrong. It's not such a terrible thing. He didn't do it intentionally. Mm-hmm. The Rebbe talks about, though, the unintentional, in one aspect, an unintentional sin or an error is worse than intentional. He talks about it as a sicha concerning Ir Miklat. Okay? You have the city of refuge.
Okay.
You have a guy, he's climbing up a ladder. And he falls off the ladder and lands on somebody and kills him. Okay? In this country, what happens to that person?
That's it's a law of manslaughter. It's unintentional. I don't know.
It's not. It's an accident.
Yeah.
The guy goes free. Okay? What happens in Judaism? He has to run to the city of refuge so that the next of kin of the deceased doesn't kill him. And he stays there until the current Kohen Gadol dies. What did he do? He was going up a ladder. He lost his balance. You could say, it's Hashgacha Pratis. I lost my balance. You know, what did I do wrong? Okay, so what he did wrong was he wasn't very careful. He wasn't extra careful. Okay, so it says, the Rebbe says, because this is something that he's going to say, I didn't do anything. I just fell off of a ladder. What did I do wrong? It says such a person is never going to correct themselves. If a person doesn't think they did anything wrong, they're never going to correct themselves. The Rebbe says, like, for example, if a person doesn't think they're sick, they're never going to go to a doctor and get better. It says half the cure is knowing that the person's sick. So in this instance, that a person doesn't think there's anything wrong with them, and something bad happens, it's actually worse. Because if it would be that the guy said, you know, I'm going to kill that person, We know this is a heinous person. He knows he's a heinous person. But if a person falls off a ladder, listen, I mean, you know, between you and me, how many people have you accidentally killed? None. None. Okay. And why? Because you don't have that flaw in your soul. This, if this person fell off the ladder, meant that he had some kind of flaw that needed correcting, and he had to spend time in this city of refuge, which was a rehab center. It was not a place for incarcerating. Because is this guy a bad dude? He's not a bad guy.
Got good meals, got clothes.
I'm talking about the guy himself. Yeah. Is he a bad guy? No, he's not a bad guy. He fell off a ladder. Okay, so he's not a bad dude. We're not trying to protect society from people from falling off of ladders. Even though it does say in Shulchan Aruch that you should not own a rickety ladder. Okay, and that's got nothing to do with anything Kabbalistic. It just happens to do with that it's not safe.
Right, say cool.
Yeah, it'd be the same like owning a python, which the Torah also adjures us that we should not do things later stupid like that.
It shouldn't even have to.
Yeah, okay. And it is possible that in such a situation that such a thing wouldn't even exist in the chamber, the realm of Klippa. And he says in the note, this is from the Tzemach Tzedek, nearly Mashikos of Yachali Yais Alma Delay Brera Li Dahaina Meshum Shashkagos Boys Menaika. It says that this last statement, he says, I don't know, it's not clear to me. That because unintentional sins come from the realm of Klippa's Noga. So what it should have said is, rather than saying that they have their source in Klippa, it should have said, the Alter Rebbe should have said, that it has its source in Noga. Which, okay, Noga, it's called Klippas Noga. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis there is going to be, well, what are you going to emphasize? Are you going to emphasize the evil? Or are you going to emphasize the elevatable? So the Tzemach Tzedek says that in case of Klippas Noga, something like an unintentional sin, it should be emphasized that this is the Noga, that this person is good, they are doing good. The fact that they did this thing wrong is not from Shalosh Klippas at Timaeus, because they didn't intend to do it. So it's only from Klippas Noga, but even still, Klippas Noga gets rectified when Mashiach comes. But that would be then why it is that a person has to go to Ir Miklat if he accidentally fell off of a ladder and killed somebody, is because at that moment now he's deriving his nurture from Klippas Noga, not from Kedusha. And he needs to be fixed. Nonetheless, you can still say that this idea of this concept of doing something wrong was indeed to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai. As it says, Moshe Rabbeinu knew every nuance in Torah, even those things which 3,300 years later people would be investing their time and developing their thought processes and coming up with these novel insights that no one else heard before, Moshe knew about them already. How? God told them. This is God told them now till the end of days what's going to be, including every chiddush that everybody ever said. So, and in my circles in yeshiva, when a person would come up and say something really outlandish in their appreciation, you know, in their interpretation of a subject, so he would say, boy, this is such a chiddush. This is such a new concept. Even Moshe never heard this concept. Which would mean it's like absolute trash.
Yeah.
V'kol pratei ha'ibayos Rabbi Yirmiyah ber-kirkasoi b'perek daled l'chol. I'm not sure how to pronounce that word. And so too with all the different questions of Rabbi Meir, as brought down in his fourth chapter of Chulin, all the different things that he brings down over there. Pirek, he's pashed his chachma ilah hu b'beginus ein seis ha'malubish baba peil mamish. We know that what is the Torah? The Torah is the will and wisdom of Hashem. And like he said in chapter 5, when a person learns the Torah, so he's connecting himself with the will and will of Hashem. And so therefore, when a person is learning these specific laws that have to do with some sort of an accident or an unintentional thing, so even though that thing could never have existed, but the infiniteness of Hashem is still enclosed in that concept. V'chol prat ha-halacha hu shar nimshach m'chochma ilah. And every halacha is a gateway by which the divine wisdom passes through. The yisayid barta, which chochma ilah is referred to as the foundation of the daughter. U'malubish ba'a v'menah nimshach m'slavish b'biyah. And then what happens is so now, in its pristine level, so what is it? It's Hashem's supernal wisdom. It has to go through the creation process to come down here. So the time it comes down here, it's manifest as a 13-year-old kid eating meat. Okay? In Chochmei Allah, it's a much higher sublime concept. It's known that klippa derives its nurture from behind the back, from the other side of the 10 spheres of holiness. Meaning that there's a certain specific amount of godliness which has to get enclosed into the spheres to keep them alive. But there's a lot more energy that doesn't get enclosed. It just falls to waste, you might say. It's not relevant to this specific level to enclose itself into it. So therefore, this waste godliness gets chopped by the klippa. That's how it comes into existence. That's called behind the back, the other side of kedusha. Ubeprat malushim de yitzirus de biyah. And specifically, as you go down lower in this the creation chain, the lower down you go, the more byproduct there's going to be because there's less of a vehicle for conveying the godliness. It would be incorrect to say that the 10 spheres of action, spiritual world, are smaller than the 10 spheres of Atzilus. That would not be correct because the word small and big is inapplicable to things that aren't measurable. But a whole lot more godliness is present in the world of Atzilus than even in the spiritual world of action. And therefore, the godliness which is coming down and enclosing itself into the spiritual world of action creates a tremendous amount of waste product godliness. That then comes down into this world and enlivens all the stuff that we say is wrong. And there's a lot of it. Right, and specifically he says that there's so much in the two lower worlds, as it's known that they're in the nurture of the forces of evil in the lower worlds comes through the godliness being enclosed into the world, and all of this extraneous godliness flowing over and enlivening the forces of evil. Now what happens, so you know that there's such a thing called a 13-year-old boy who can rebel who gets killed. And you're sitting there and you're learning about it. And you're uttering the words and you're thinking about it because this doesn't make any sense. You got to sit there and think about it. What happens then? It becomes separated and distinct from the holy. Because what you're doing now is saying, oh, I understand, this is wrong. So once I understand that such a concept is wrong, that means, what makes something wrong? So he said back in chapter 4, that what makes something wrong is that it derives its nurture from the forces of evil. So here it is, we're learning about something you never saw Ben Sarah Mara in your life. But Once you start learning, so that means you shouldn't start learning about it. Once you start learning about a Ben Sarah Mara, so there now you have in place the godliness required to enclose itself into klippa, which will eventually create a Ben Sarah. So maybe you shouldn't be learning these things. The answer is no, of course not. That's not. Of course you should learn about these things. as he said, that's why he warns in chapter 5. Even though it never could happen, never did happen, never will happen, mm-hmm. when you learn about it, you're still uniting yourself with Hashem's will and wisdom, which is infinite. And it's really of little consequence to us if the thing happens or not. We just have to learn about it.
It's one of 613.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like one of the fiber optic cables in a big fiber
optic. Yeah, exactly.
You need the whole,
we talked about way back when. Yeah, you need them all, none of them are going to work.
Yeah, so.
Okay, but you could say that, but nowadays, you could say that for all but about 160 of the commandments, because you have, out of the 613, right. about 160 are relevant that you could do. So as far as practical halacha is concerned, two-thirds of Judaism is theoretical. You know, and between you and me, you start going and learning the three Bubbas over there, Bubba Kama, mm-hmm. Bubba Messiah, Bubba Basra. Mm-hmm. And you start learning there about things like oxen goring cows, or two guys holding onto a talis, schlepping it to Beis Din, or walls falling down and having to decide who gets the bricks. I don't think I've ever come in any of those scenarios. You know, so even though it could possibly well happen, you know, so when I teach Eilu Metzias, so I use various scenarios of people who found and lost things, because people actually did find and lose things. Okay, but when was the last time your stone fence fell down and you had to decide with your neighbor who's going to pay it, who has to cart away the broken rocks, what happens with the good rocks? I mean, you know, these are all questions that sometime were relevant, but they're not relevant to 2017. Not in my neighborhood, anyway. They don't even let you have a stone fence in this city. As it says, with wisdom, this is a pasuk. With wisdom, he becomes purified in, quote unquote. And what is he purified with? With the light of the Infinite One, blessed be he. And this godliness now comes into this world when people are very exact in their occupation of the halacha. No, it says diukna means image. I made this mistake when I was preparing. Sorry, let's go back. This hamshacha, this derivative of godliness, comes through the supernal image of man, who's occupying also in the halacha, these halachas above, b'shorsha denukva dezod biyah, in the source of where the halacha comes from, in the feminine aspect of the masculine aspect of the three lower worlds. Let's put that into simple English.
The book didn't. Translation is still hard.
Translation is still, yeah. But you're not going to be able to translate that to make it any sense out of it. That's usually true with most Kabbalah jargon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Simply saying that it says, there's a verse that says, Magad Dvar of Yaakov Hukuv Mishpat of Yisrael, that which Hashem commands to the Jewish people, Hashem himself does. So when people are sitting and learning, it says it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Two people are sitting and learning, so Hashem is sitting in between, and he's also learning. So right now, we're sitting at this table. What is Hashem learning? Just so happens right now, Hashem is learning Kuntra Zachar, Essay 5. Okay, which means, what does that mean? God said, hey, you know, this is pretty good stuff this time. No, that's not what it means. What it means is that by us learning, we are bringing a realization that such wisdom does exist and bringing it down into this physical world, at least within the realm of Dibur, which is in this world. The Dibur is still considered a little bit of an action because you still have to move your mouth and take a breath before you talk. You don't have to think necessarily. We know that for many people. But it's so this physical world, so it's the utterance now brings it into a realization. If it's never going to happen, it doesn't matter. By talking about this concept, we're drawing down the infiniteness of Hashem down here in this world. Now it says in Sefer Gilgulim, from which is the Book of Reincarnation by the Arizal, that every nefesh ruling and neshama, that means all three parts of your soul, that the Arizal starts creating Eitz Chaim with, person is born with a nefesh. If he works on himself, he'll be merit, he'll have a ruach. And if he works on himself further, so he'll merit, he'll have a neshama. So each level, the soul is responsible for how it's going to fulfill those mitzvahs. Nefesh is in a way of action, ruach is in a way of emotion, neshama is in a way of intellect. So we have an obligation of not just doing the mitzvahs, but you have to do the mitzvahs in an emotional expression, you have to do the mitzvahs in intellectual expression. And if not, what happens? Guy put on tefillin every day of his life. He never one time thought of any type of emotional thing that might be happening by him putting on tefillin. What happens? Yeah, the Arizal says he comes back. He has to do it again. And because what we're here for is to purify all the purifications which are relevant to each one of us. What I have to do in this world is not what you have to do in this world. We are each unique with an each unique purpose, and each one of us has a unique part of the world. And we have to purify that part of the world which is relevant to us. And that involves, it says, Mikol HaRepach, which the whole place of the world and everything happening in it is from the 288 sparks that fell when the world of Tohu shattered. Shehu Kaimis Adam Shalema, that now, when a person does 613 commandments, so now he's creating a complete person. Tereg Vachinus Kalalus HaPratis. And every detail and any general part of the person's body, spiritual body, now comes into play. Now here's the whole point of the letter. The whole point of the note is right now. Avalasid Lavi, when Mashiach comes, Kishi Yushlam Habirer, and all the purification, all the rectification is done. There is nothing else that needs to be done. So we'll be learning Torah just to know what to do right. Because when Mashiach comes, there won't be an opportunity to do anything wrong. So if that be the case, then if you have no ability to do anything wrong, so why learn about it? At that point, however much godliness was burned into the world by not doing wrong will be realized. I mean, it's a lot. It's great. Oh. How much ham did you not eat today?
Infinite amount.
Correct. You know, so
I don't get if we get to a point where we can't do the wrong and we don't want to learn about it, but we learn about these mitzvahs, that these situations that never happened, will never.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Why? If I learn about those, it's because I get a closer relationship with Hashem. I get a better understanding of what Hashem wants me to understand.
Oh, so you want to say I should still have to learn them when Mashiach comes to get a closer relationship? Yeah. And the answer is because you're going to have that relationship without learning.
Oh, okay.
La'al saran ma'ila ma'ila ad ain't safe. And did I skip a word? No, Thirbinus Tev Levad, that will be elevating our souls higher and higher till the realm of the infiniteness. And also with the adherence of the 365 prohibitions, v'shorshin l'mayla, in their source above, shehen gevuras kedushas, the forces of evil, anything which is derived from the forces of evil, and all the prohibitions are all drawn down from gevura. And we're talking about gevura v'tzilus, to be able to do anything. Because what does gevura v'tzilus do? Gevura v'tzilus is what sets parameters. This is going to be about till this much. And all the other stuff that's wasted over, that'll just fall to the side. Whatever happens to that, happens to that. Okay, so it's Gevura, which is the source of the 365 prohibitions. Lahamtik b'chassadim b'ramach mitzvasei l'kolam yachad. They come into this world, and it's our job to sweeten them through the positive performance of the positive commandments, that they become all one entity. So that a person's not fulfilling 248 positive commandments and 365 prohibitions. They're fulfilling teriyak mitzvahs. It becomes basically at that point one single unit, which is what Hashem's looking for after a person passes away. So Hashem said, did you do the unit? Meaning, did you do 613 commandments the way you're supposed to do them? No? Goodbye. See you later. Come back again. Akenatera kulu nitzchis beklal seprat is therefore every single detail of the Torah is absolutely eternal. Shagam prati halachas is shesal loisasi hein anafim behalachas. And for sure, the specific laws involving the 365 prohibitions, that they are branches. They're all sourced from each specific deal is coming from a klal, from the general idea. And it has all of the details have their source above in the Hei Gevuras, the Kedusha, in the five levels of severity. We talked about this maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. So the five levels of severity. I remember talking about
it during Sphira. 413, but it's been a long time.
Hmm?
So essay in... Note 20,
essay 4, note 13.
But that's not that long ago.
Yeah, okay. So the Hei Gevuras, as you know, that every sphere has 10 spheres.
Right.
Okay, and each of the 10 spheres has 10 spheres. Okay, so therefore, in, say, like Kesser, for example, mm-hmm. So you have Kesser of Kesser. Das of Kesser, Teferis of Kesser, Yesod of Kesser, and Malchus of Kesser. Okay? Now, each one of those, so in Kesser you have Gevura of Kesser of Kesser. In Das, you have Gevura of Das of Kesser. It's all in Kesser. In Teferis, you have Gevura of Teferis of Kesser. And same thing with Yesod, and same thing with Malchus. Those are the five severities that are talked about in the Kabbalah all over the place, the Hei Gevuras. Their purpose is to limit the kindness so as to allow the right amount of kindness to come down. Because if you have too much kindness, you get blown away. So it's up to the Hei Gevuras specifically, these are the five spheres in the middle column, mm-hmm. to limit the godliness coming down here so that we can benefit from the godliness that does come down here. Because if it's going to be too much godliness, we're not going to benefit from it. We'll get blown away. We'll all be nutted in a vihuing mm-hmm. all over the place. And it's just like the example was given. We say, why? How are you supposed to know that there's 365 commandments, negative commandments? Well, it says 248 commandments correspond to the 248 bones in your body. And you have to go through and explain it because in the sacral word is 216. There's different ways of counting the bones. Again, they're all counted in, I believe, the first or second chapter of... The first or second chapter of Ohelos discusses what the 216 bones are. Okay, but then you got a whole bunch of 365 corresponds to the veins and arteries and organs. Okay, and so the 600, so they're all manifest in the person's body, but they're higher than the person's body. Just like it is that the 248 positive commandments are higher than any specific body part in which is doing that commandment, so too it is the 365 prohibitions are on a higher level than that body part that wouldn't be doing that commandment. And refers to the godliness now that comes into the lower aspect, the lower realm of each world, which is called Zoh, which is the masculine aspect of each world, which is going to relate to the feminine, which is going to give rise to the next world. That is, thus ends chapter essay 5 of Egeres HaKodesh of Kunshas Achren, to be continued.